Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What is purity? Something's pure when it's not mixed or adulterated with any other substance or material. Or as Barclay puts it, when it has no tainting admixture of anything else. Some examples I think would make it very clear. In the physical realm, 24 karat gold is different than 12 karat or 18 karat. Because 24 karat gold is pure gold. It is nothing but gold. Whereas 18 and 14 and 18 karat gold have additives added to them. In the spiritual realm, if you look at Psalm chapter 12 and verse 6, Psalm chapter 12 and verse 6, you see something that is pure, and that is the words of the Lord. It says there, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times. God's words are pure. There is not in them one jot or one tittle, or you might say one iota of error in anything that God says. The words of the Lord are 100% pure truth. So I think we understand what purity is. What is the heart? What is the heart? I've got scriptures for all of these things, but I won't read them. Let me just suggest to you that I do. And if you want them, I can give them to you. But when it comes to the way the word heart is used in the Bible, the heart is that which thinks, it's that which wills, it's that which emotes. First of all, the heart is that which thinks, it remembers, considers, ponders, meditates, reasons, imagines, perceives, understands, knows, believes, doubts, devises, plans, etc. The heart is that part of us that thinks. It's also that part of us that wills. According to Scripture, the heart wishes, desires, yearns, inclines, intends, purposes, resolves, and motivates. So the heart is that which thinks, it's the heart of that which wills, and it's also that which emotes or expresses emotion. We tend to think of the heart as only the seat of the emotions, but in the Bible the heart is that plus the heart of man's thoughts as well as his wills. Certainly the heart grieves, sinks, is stunned, glad, stirred. It hates, fears, melts, it's merry, cheerful, trembles, is troubled, despises, delights, is joyful, broken, fretful, ravished, bitter, and anguished. It does all those things. It emotes. It expresses emotion, but it also wills. It also thinks. Putting it all together, Wiersbe said, the heart simply means the inner man with his many functions. It is the master control area of life. Morris said, with us, heart is used as the physical organ and as a way of referring to the emotions, but we must not read that way of understanding the term back into Scripture. There it stands for the whole of our inner state, thought, and will, as well as our emotions. This beatitude thus leads us to purity at the very center of our being. So when we're talking about purity of heart, we're talking about absolute purity in that which controls us, that which with which we think, that which we will, that which we emote. All right, well, who are the pure in the heart? Who are these pure in heart folks? A couple of verses. Look at Psalm 24 and verse 3. Psalm 24 and verse 3. I think the contrast with the pure in heart is those who are pure outwardly, but not inwardly. In the Old Testament system, purity a lot of times had outward ceremonial significance. Whereas as it's used in the Beatitude, purity is of heart is in contrasted with purity of body. I think you see that in this verse. Psalm 24, verse 3 says, Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands, who is outwardly pure, and a pure heart, who is inwardly pure. So the pure of heart are certainly those people who are pure on the outside, but it's also those who are pure on the inside. You can't be pure. You cannot be impure on the outside and be pure on the inside, but you can appear pure on the outside and be impure on the inside. So it takes both cleanliness, both inwardly and outwardly. Look at James chapter 4 and verse 8. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Same idea. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. Outwardly behave, you sinners. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. So the pure are those who are both outwardly and inwardly clean. And what are they? What are the pure in heart? According to this beatitude, they are blessed. Blessed are the pure in heart. Those who are clean not only on the outside but on the inside. And when we talk about clean, we're talking about utterly and completely unstained by defilement, the filth of the flesh. Those are people who are blessed. And then the question becomes, why? Why are the pure in heart blessed? Well, it's because they're going to see God. It just says it right there. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that happens two ways, both of which are absolutely essential to blessedness. First, the pure in heart see or understand God with the eyes of their heart. It's a metaphorical way of looking at eyesight. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. We talk about our heart, that part of us that see, that part of us that thinks, wills, and emotes. We talk about that as having eyes that see. And what we mean by that is not literal eyes, but rather understanding. Common way of using the word see. I mean, just when you know somebody's explaining something to you and you say, well, I see. It's not that you're visually seeing something, it's that you're understanding something. Paul there and prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. See there? I pray that the eyes of your heart may see, that they may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory and His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of a power towards us who believe. So the first way the pure in heart see is that they understand God, whereas the impure in heart don't. Psalm 119 and verse 18. The psalmist asks, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. And the idea wasn't that help him to read the scriptures because he was physically blind. Rather, allow the eyes of his heart, the eyes of his mind, to see in Scripture things that he didn't otherwise understand. So the first way the pure in heart see God is that they understand Him like no other can. And why is it that we have to be pure in heart to see God in this manner? I want to give you a lengthy quotation which I think is very, very good. And I think it explains this situation to us very, very well. It is a fact of life that what we see depends not only on what is in front of our eyes, but also what is within our minds and hearts. Knowledge makes a difference to seeing. The man who knows nothing of botany will see by the wayside a tangle of weeds and grasses and wildflowers, to none of which he can put a name. But the skilled botanist, because of his knowledge, will call each by name, and maybe he will see something rare and unusual. The man with no knowledge will go out into the night and see in the sky above him a mass of lights. He will not be able to name one of them and will not be able to tell a star from a planet. The skilled astronomer, because of his knowledge, can see something different. The skilled astronomer will walk amongst the stars, calling them by name like his familiar friends. And by these same stars, which mean nothing to the man without knowledge, the navigator will bring back his ship to harbor. A doctor can tell things by looking at a patient as a layman never can. A scholar can see truth and beauty in a manuscript which is unintelligible to the man with no knowledge. What we know determines what we see. Experience makes a difference in seeing. That which leaves us quite unmoved when we are young, that which may even amuse a child, brings a stab to the heart and tears to the eyes when the years have interpreted and given it meaning. So why is it that the pure in heart see God? It's because our spiritual sight is affected by what's in our mind. As ignorance inhibits sight or understanding, so does sin. If you want to extend the metaphor, like spiritual cataracts, the eyes of impure hearts have dirty lenses which prevent them from clearly seeing or understanding God and His will for their lives. Go to the scripture reading again. Look at Titus chapter 1 and verse 15. This is one of those verses that I've seen all my life and have been hard-pressed to say I truly understand it, but I think maybe this gives me a context that proves my understanding better than I've had before. To the pure, all things are pure. And that's not saying that everything is pure to the pure. I think what that's saying is all things that are pure to the pure. Okay? All things that are pure, the pure see as pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing that is pure is pure. Why? Because when they look at pure things, it is through dirty lenses. And it appears to them defiled. So see what it's saying. It says, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They're dirtied, they're sullied. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. Impure hearts are one of the main reasons why so few people are blessed. Those with impure hearts think they get God when they really don't have a clue. See, the problem is they're looking and they're thinking they're understanding. But the reality is their lenses are filthy and they're not seeing God as He truly is. It's like we talked about in Bible class this morning. In my closet back home, sometimes the light makes green pants look like they're brown, and when you get out in the regular sunlight, you look kind of silly. Impure hearts are one of the main reasons why so few are blessed. Those with impure hearts think they get God when they haven't a clue. They think God's let them down when they haven't given Him a chance. They think the Word of God doesn't work when they haven't done its work. To get God, you've got to have a pure heart, because if you have a sullied heart, you do not see God as He truly is. So to be blessed, we must see or understand God and His will for our lives. Impure hearts can never do this. So that's one way the pure in heart see God. Another way the pure in heart see God is they will literally behold Him. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. I love this verse. Why do you want to go to heaven? Is it because you got a mansion there and the streets of gold and all that kind of stuff? I think what God is simply saying is that heaven is going to be beyond anything we can possibly imagine. But it's not carnal. To me, the thing that makes heaven appealing is that one day, if I get there, I'm going to see God. The eyes of my resurrected body that are fit for eternity will behold God and survive. Beloved, 1 John 3, verse 2. Now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And what happens? Everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. And why is that? It's because we cannot get to heaven with impure hearts. We've got to be clean on the inside and the outside. So blessed, happy, fulfilled, satisfied are the pure in heart, those who are pure both inside and outside. For they and they alone can understand God and do what God says for blessedness in time. And they alone will behold God in eternity, where true blessings of this life will pale in comparison. Read the bulletin article if you haven't already. I liked it a lot. It made me think. We can be blessed in here and now, but we'll never be fully blessed till we get to heaven. And that's what we need to do so to be fully blessed like God expects us and wants us to be. What do we need to do? We need to make sure that we are pure of heart. So what's the application? What's the application? Babies are pure. Babies are pure. When Jesus was pure when He was in that manger. If you think about Jesus in the manger, you think about a baby, and He was absolutely pure. But you know what? He was just as pure on the cross as He was in the manger. And it wasn't because He had been forgiven of His sins, like we must be to be pure. It was because He had never sinned. So for us to understand such purity and one day behold it, we must become as little children, purifying ourselves completely both inside and out. Two verses and we're done. Look at 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, the promises of understanding God and beholding God, behold, beloved, 2 Corinthians 7:1, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. See, what we need to do is to be pure in the flesh and in the spirit, outside and inside. And we do that because we see God because we're in awe of Him, because we see Him as He is, not as we would hope Him to be. And finally, Psalm 101, verse 2. Here is the mindset of a person who wants to see God. And let it always be the case with us, so that we might be blessed as God intends. The psalmist says in Psalm 101, verse 2, he says, I will give heed to the blameless way. When will you come to me? I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I'm going to have a pure heart. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. A perverse heart, an unclean heart, shall depart from me. I will know no evil. Brethren, we're talking about how we want to be blessed, happy, and how God wants us to be blessed or happy, ultimately fulfilled. If we have any hope of doing that, we've got to purify ourselves both on the outside and the inside. For it's only when the eyes of our heart are pure and clean that we can see God as He is, and we will see God in heaven when we hear those great words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you're here and you're not a child of God, please become one. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, confess your faith, repent of your sins. Because God wants us to see Him. He wants us to behold Him. He wants us to be with Him in heaven. So if you hear the word, having heard the Word of God, if you'll believe it and repent of your sins and confess your faith, come forward, be baptized. We can have all that filth washed away. You can be pure, not because you've never sinned, but because God has washed those sins away. And if you are a child of God, if we can assist you in any way, just tell us how, as together we stand and sing.